8:01 on a Thursday. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Remember when we said that we weren't going to focus on the negative texts and we weren't going to get defensive?
Mm-hmm.
That went out the window pretty quick.
Yeah.
All because of Eric. Damn you, Eric.
No, I'm not going to, I know there's a lot of people out there that, we want to see Mount Bruff. No.
Mm.
The Canucks will do that. The Canucks will bring out Mount Bruff, or the Seahawks will bring out Mount Bruff.
Mm-hmm.
But it became exhausting at the old show, so that's my new goal.
It's like a New Year's resolution.
It's kind of like a New Year's resolution. It's
April.
A new show resolution.
Right.
That, you know, if someone texts in something that's, you're just like, just ignore it.
Fair enough.
I think it'll be easier now. The political climate, especially down south, has calmed a tiny little bit.
Mm-hmm. We were on the air for some bad ones.
Oh.
Hey.
Man.
Not fun. Not so good.
Remember when we mentioned, we even just said CNN once.
Mm-hmm.
Like said it.
Just said the letters. That was it. Just an acronym.
I think I said like, this guy was on CNN. And like a bunch of texts came in.
Is that where you get your news from? I'm like, I just said the word. I don't even have
it as part of my cable package.
I can't afford it. Does that make me more relatable? I don't know. You tell me. Let's go to the phone line now. Get back on the subject of those Vancouver Canucks that apparently we are not talking enough about. First time having him on the show. Very excited to have him here. Dan Murphy from Sportsnet right here on Sportsnet 650. What up, Murph?
What's going on, boys? I guess you're welcoming me to your show, but I'm going to welcome you to the, I guess I can't say dark side, right? Now maybe it's the bright side. Are we Mr. Bright Side?
Yeah.
We are. I don't even know.
That's good. Good Killers reference. Well done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Killers.
Very well done.
Murph, talk about all the leadership in the Canucks' bottom six.
I don't believe we have enough time right now.
Nice.
An opus nice. On Mark Michaelis, but here we go.
Okay. Well, two things. One, it's very fitting that we join a new station and then the Canucks don't play for approximately 3 weeks. That's perfect. Two, yeah. We're like, what was it like yesterday? You get to the rink, you're all, you know, kitted out, ready to go. It's an hour and a half before puck drop. You're doing all your usual broadcast stuff. And then I assume someone gets in your ear and they're like, you know how you were going to preview the hockey game? Don't do that anymore. Now talk about how it's canceled.
Yeah. Well, what it was like the whole day we were kind of wondering, and Shorty was texting me. But once it got to 5 o'clock and they submitted their COVID list, I figured, okay, we're good to go here. And you know, I still felt like the game was going to go because when Green talked yesterday afternoon, he was saying that from the night before they felt they were good to go. So if that's two consecutive days with nobody testing positive except for Gaudette, I'm like, okay, we're clear. And the funny thing was I was going downstairs or down by the TV truck to pick up some paperwork. And when I got down there, I saw we have like a WhatsApp group with like the Sportsnet insiders or whatever, right. Which I don't know why I'm on there. But I see Friedman saying, heads up, game could be canceled. And then I was getting hustled back upstairs to go live into the second intermission of the Leafs game. So it came down awfully quick. We had done the arrival interview with Noah Hanifin. We had got the tees ready to go. And, you know, I honestly thought a game was going to happen. I would have bet a large quantity of money after five when the COVID list was in. But, you know, a couple more positive tests come and it's over. The lights went out.
Yeah, and it was a weird feeling watching it all go down because you saw everyone react in real time because that's what was happening, right? It was like an hour and a half prior to puck drop and all of a sudden what you think you're going to be doing covering a game turns into how are we going to explain why this game isn't going on. Now we've already started to do the look ahead and I imagine you guys on the broadcast side have as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's no blueprint. There's precedence, but there's no blueprint on how these things go. But we looked at Montreal and said when they had a couple players end up on the COVID-19 protocol and they didn't even have a coach like the Canucks have right now. They ended up missing 4 games and almost 10 days of action. So we've already started looking forward to the weekend and saying those games again, the back-to-backs on Saturday and Sunday, they feel like they're already got to be in jeopardy.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the Habs were dealing with a variant though, right? And I don't think that's what we're dealing with here, but I could be proven wrong with that. That was another thing that was involved. But you're right. They weren't scheduled to practice today. Regardless, now obviously they won't be. And I think tomorrow was supposed to be a practice and fly to Edmonton. So there's still a little bit of runway here, more testing to do. But You know, abundance of caution is the phrase in the league has used throughout the season. So, you know, for sure, Saturday and Sunday, back-to-back games have to be in jeopardy. And if you're the Oilers and the Jets at this point, you want to make sure the Canucks have their ducks in a row before they come into your building. So I'll be interested to see. Like, they would test again today. I would imagine they would try to expedite the results again. So maybe the next round of testing comes in this evening and we'll have more clarity. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. If nobody else tests positive, I wonder if they do indeed practice, test again tomorrow and fly and wait for the results tomorrow before they proceed. So, you know, I could see them saying we're not going anywhere, or if there are no positive tests as of tomorrow, let's fly and let's see if we can play this game. But that's dangerous as well because you're getting everybody on a plane.
Is this not classic Canucks luck? They played 37 games in like 43 days, and then they finally got a week off, and now they're probably itching to get back to playing. And they're like, actually, you might not play for a little while.
It kind of is, you know. And it, you know, and Antoine Roussel was complaining about the Habs getting all those breaks. Now, I think he would have rather had this break earlier in the season than an extended, you know, maybe a 2-week break now when the team is, you know, basically out of the playoff race. But yeah, I mean, it's too bad. It's the times we're living in. They had done a really good job up until this point, aside from the Ben Miller at the start of the season. And, you know, it's unfortunate it goes this way, but, I mean, I think at this point you have to, you know, I think you have to go ahead with as much caution as possible to make sure you're not affected anymore.
Hey, Murph, what did you think of the Demko extension?
I thought it was, you know, I was probably thinking 4 years. Maybe, you know, it's not without risk. I mean, geez, the guy has less than, what, 60 starts in the National Hockey League. And certainly we've seen goaltenders have a great season and then just crater after that. So there is some risk there. I think it's a little expensive for the first two, and then perhaps it could be a bargain for the next three, those UFA years that they ate up. So, you know, I think certainly if you look at his body of work, since he's become a starter, and even if you want to go back to the bubble, which is, you know, kind of a one-off in my mind, but I think that probably it's a deal you had to make. You have some certainty now, cost certainty for the next 5 years. But I think that probably means also maybe just bridge deals for the two big boys. But yeah, at first glance, I thought it was a little bit high. But, you know, in my mind, I was thinking maybe a four-year deal. So they got another year of UFA. And certainly if he's trending in the right direction and they feel they know the player, and I'm sure they asked Ian Clark about him. And he doesn't strike me as the type of guy that's going to rest on his laurels. I think he's a hard worker. He's a bright guy. And, I don't think that's going to change the way he prepares to try to be better.
Do you think the Canucks are looking almost past next season into the next year and going, that's probably our season?
I think we are. I think the fans are. I'm not sure about the organization. I mean, they're always going to try to find ways to improve and to compete, especially if there's going to be fans in the building again next season. I mean, I've thought a few times, what if there were fans in the building this year in January and February? I mean, what would the environment have been like? So I don't think you want to repeat that next year. I think you still have to try to improve. I just don't know how much better they can be next season than this season. You know, so I would suggest that fans need to be patient for one more year. And that's assuming that management, whether it's Benning or someone else, does the right things in the meantime. Because as we've seen, when we saw some of those deals where everybody was kind of looking sideways at for Beagle and Roussel back then, everybody's like, it doesn't matter. You know, they're not winning now. You see how those deals can creep into windows and really affect the way you do business. So let's just hope everything's done the right way. And then the season after next, the window kind of opens for good and they have a 3-4 year stretch to kind of really try to be a competitive team in the league.
I'm really wondering what they're going to do on the left side of the defense next season. I mean, Quinn Hughes will be there. After that, you know, assuming Nate Schmidt is a right side guy, Alex Edler isn't signed for next season. Ole Ylevi, I think he had his moments. He wasn't terrible this season, but I don't think he stood out in a great. Put it this way, I don't think you're sitting there going, "Yep, he's our top four left side defenseman after Quinn Hughes next season." You know, Edler, I don't know if he would take a serious hometown discount to stay, but I don't even know if you want him in your top four anymore anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I mean, I, Edler's such a private guy, and you know, he responds to texts every once in a while. I have no idea what his thoughts are yet at the deadline. But I kind of get the sense he'd be kind of like a Char kind of guy, 1 year at a time. I don't think he's going to want to try to hit the 3-year deal somewhere else and go and try to cash in mm-hmm. on a late career contract. I just don't get that sense. I think they're really rooted here. Kids here, support is here, but I could be totally wrong. So I think it's possible you can get a 1-year deal of Edler at a discount. But again, I mean, I might be just making this up in my own head. And after that, I really hope we get to see Ulevi a few more times down the stretch, and it's not just because of someone gets hurt. You know, I think you have to evaluate, and Green said they have to look at short-term and long-term. And I think you need to see more from Ulevi, because that was kind of a big storyline, right, out of training camp and in the first month of the season. We're seeing this guy play, and we saw some of his awards, but I think there were some positive steps too. So I think you really need an answer, and I agree with you. I don't think he's a top-four guy. But can he be the third pair guy for the next little bit? And I think you have to find that out in the next 5 weeks.
I thought we'd be arguing a lot more about Ulevi this season. And it seems like it's almost been a forgotten story.
Didn't you say you put something on Twitter, though, and you got a pretty decent reaction that people aren't happy with the way that he's being deployed?
Yeah, but I don't feel like it was a front burner issue.
Okay.
I just kind of put it out there. I was like, is anyone upset that Ulevi isn't playing?
You found some outrage online?
No, I'm serious. Yeah, on
stunning
Twitter.
Stunning development.
Less. Yeah.
Just tweet DiPietro and see what happens. just the name and see what comes back.
Well, I also think it's really unfortunate what's going on down in Utica, too. The Comets haven't played in, what, since early March?
What, have they played 10 games or something?
Jack Rathbone, by all accounts, was looking pretty good early on. And has Mike DiPietro played a game anywhere this season?
No.
I mean, that's really unfortunate. Cole Lind, I think he is an outside candidate for, third line center, but they were playing him at center and trying it. And he's bounced back in the AHL after a tough first season in the minors. I was really looking forward to seeing how these guys were going to develop, and it's just been nothing.
Yeah. And the Canucks are not a unique situation of Vancouver. Other teams are dealing with the same kind of stuff. But it begs the question, like, do you bring up Rathbone and or Lind, call them up now, and let them do the week quarantine now? Because the restrictions have been relaxed a bit, I think, right?
I think it's a week now.
Government. Yeah. So you bring them up, and then you have, depending what happens this week, of course, let's just say games go ahead as per usual, which could be a stretch, but then you've got like 16 games left in the season, and maybe you can get them in for 5-6 at this level. I don't know. I mean, is that even an option at this point? I don't think they'll be looking at that right now, but I mean, if you can squeak them in for 5-6 games at this level, especially if Utica is up in the air, maybe that's another decision that can be made by the Canucks.
You know, it's funny because everyone's talking about how disrupted the NHL season has been this year. The AHL has been like a borderline nightmare. Like, Utica Comets have played 9 games this year. San Diego has played 24. It's all over the map, right? And it's, you know, exacerbated by the fact that there's virtually no travel. Like, you're playing the same teams over and over and over again. So if one team runs into a COVID situation, you have a bunch of games that get wiped out. But, I mean, it's a tough year when you look at teams organizationally, where you've got so much invested in player development and it all just kind of goes by the wayside. And a lot of times it's completely out of your control.
Yeah. Who knows how these guys have developed this season. They're clearly not very much through game reps, certainly not when you're talking about DiPietro. Perhaps the Canucks are lucky with Pod Coles and him having played a full season in the K. You know, he'll have had a full year of development before he comes here, and probably not this season. But, you know, you're right. I mean, especially for the players that you thought maybe we're going to push for a spot, like Lynn, like Rathbone. I don't even know if you want to throw Jet Wu in there.
Mm-hmm.
But guys, you really hope we're going to develop and see what you had next year at training camp. They've all got to be stunned by this. But again, it's not unique to Vancouver.
Murph, who are you really keeping your eye on for the trade deadline?
Oh, man, I'd like to say I think there's going to be a lot of stuff done. Are you just talking Canucks specific?
Yeah, Canucks specific, but you know, anything else?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think probably I'm looking at the Predators, but now that they're back in a playoff spot, are they going to sell? for Vancouver, I still think Jordy Benn
yeah.
might get some traction now that Hamannik has said he's not going to waive. You know, I wonder about Pearson because of the injury and the Canucks wanting to re-sign him, but I think he should be someone they should explore. And then Edler, I really want to know, like, is this the year? He's been home for an entire year. Maybe he wants to get away for a couple months.
He's been trapped in his house.
Kidding, like, we talked about that.
We talked about it yesterday. He's like, all right, this will be the year. I need to leave.
Yeah, I could go to Florida and do whatever I want any day of the week. It's great.
Yeah, Vegas, you know, like a team like the depth defenseman. Could you imagine Alex Edler playing limited minutes on a third pair?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm really interested to see what he wants to do and if they approach him to waive. So that's kind of the way I'm looking at it.
I actually wonder what the players would do. Would you bring your family there? And just be like, let's pull the kids out of school. It's, you know, it would be.
I don't know. Yeah. More people have been vaccinated down there than up here.
Exactly.
Yeah. This might be safer down there now. Now the border's going to be closed going the other way.
It's such an interesting development because when we first started looking at the trade deadline a month or two out, it seemed really overwhelming in the sense of, man, it's going to be really tough to pull off one of these trades with the flat cap and then with the quarantine issue. But it seems like a lot of that stuff changes on a daily basis to where it's like, oh, this could actually make more sense than you think. And you actually, when we think about it the other way, it's like, imagine if you've been stuck in one city or one place for an extended period of time. You might welcome the change knowing that it's a short-term thing. If you're a rental, it's a couple of months.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and I still think money is the big thing, like the dollars in, dollars out. That's obviously going to be a huge factor for a lot of this. I bet a lot of people come calling on Tyler Mott, and maybe someone's willing to overpay there because he's got a year left, right, of term after this one. So he's attractive, but I still think money is the biggest factor, more so than quarantine and border crossing and that type of stuff. It's just teams that don't have much wiggle room under the cap.
Does Ian Clark respond to texts?
I don't know. I'll take Kevin Woodley's, his reporting on these situations. But you know, you got to figure now. You've just invested $25 million in your goalie of the present / future. I think that probably you should be trying very hard to convince Ian Clark to stay, whether or not his deadline is passed to sign a deal. Because I don't think there's any question. There's a correlation between how these goaltenders have developed and the goaltender coach they've had, at least in my mind.
Murph, great stuff, bud. Thanks a lot for doing this today. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the week and whatever it brings. And we'll talk again next week to recap whatever it brought.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. This had way too much serious hockey talk. Next time, let's avoid serious talk for a while. But I guess we had to because of what happened last night.
Well, I can give you a golf update. I am now chipping one-handed. Because I've got the yip so badly.
I can't make a full turn yet, so I've only hit wedges. So I'm not quite ready to play.
Well, so next week we'll really focus on the bright side of COVID. And we'll get into that. That'll be great. Thanks, Murph.
All right, boys. Take care.
Thanks. That's Dan Murphy, Sportsnet's very own here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Here's some not great news from the world of baseball. We had on senior writer Andy McCullough from The Athletic earlier today. His co-worker. I got COVID on the brain. His co-worker,
colleague even,
Evan Drellich, another senior writer from The Athletic MLB, is reporting that the Mets and Nationals opening day game has now been postponed due to COVID-19 protocols. So, you know, you kind of knew this was going to happen. The MLB had really ambitious goals for every single team to play on opening day because that's what they said. They said opening day should be opening day for everyone. Everyone should get to celebrate the start of baseball. April 1st, all our teams are playing. Well, the Red Sox and Orioles got rained out, and now we're hearing that the Mets and Nationals are going to be postponed due to COVID-19. Very, very symbolic of the times.
The Jays game is still on, though.
Jays game is still on. That's going to be part of our programming today. So we are going to do what we learn next. Get yours in. I can't say email. You can text to the Dunbar Lumber. That's not Dunbar Lumbar. That's Dunbar Lumber. Lumber as in wood. Text in to 650-650. Dunbar Lumber, the smart alternative. Visit Dunbar Lumber on Bridge Street in Ladner or Arbutus in Vancouver. You can also visit them online at Dunbar Lumber, LUMBER.com.
I love going to the Jays schedule, by the way, and looking at the likely starters. And they've got Ryu, and after that, they don't know.
TBD?
Yeah.
We'll see. It could be Ryu again. Who knows? Text in 650-650 for your What We Learns. We'll do those next. 9 o'clock, Blue Jays pregame. 9 till 10. And then 10 o'clock, the first pitch of the Blue Jays season. It's the Jays and the Yankees. It's all right here on Sportsnet 650. So that's what's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Keep it on the dial. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650.
Pressure still on. Ademi sends it across. It's a great chance, and it's in the back of the net. And for the second time tonight, North Macedonia lead away in Germany. And this time it's Elif Elmas who scored the goal. 5 minutes to go. What a moment for North Macedonian football.
I'm glad we got that in. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650, 8:27 on a Thursday. That was yesterday. In World Cup qualifying from Europe's group, I want to say Group J. Sure. I'm serious, it's Group J. So we haven't dabbled much in the footy through our first 4 days on the air, but I think it's worth mentioning, especially when Germany loses. Northern Macedonia.
North Macedonia.
Okay. North Macedonia.
Isn't it? Get it right.
Yeah. It's a former part of Yugoslavia.
Correct.
Yeah.
They pulled one of the biggest upsets. I mean, I'm not overstating it in the history of World Cup qualifying in Europe. 2-1, a victory by North Macedonia over Germany. That's the first time that Germany has lost a World Cup qualifying game in 20 years.
Do you remember the last time they did?
Yeah, it was England.
England went into Munich and smoked them 5-1.
Yeah, I remember that.
Still talk about that in England. That's pretty sad, actually.
Yeah, it was a great moment.
Was that Michael Owens? Like, I think he had a hat trick in that game.
Yeah.
Was that Alan Shearer's day? You know,
his debut? No, it wasn't.
Not debut. No, it wasn't, like prime.
No.
It was post Shearer, but it was right during the Owen era. When he was like light. Remember when Michael Owen broke
amazing.
Onto the scene?
Oh, yeah.
He was the fastest kid alive. He was Michael Cera in Superbad. Like, he was ridiculous.
Great reference.
Yeah. And now, 20 years later.
What do you think German sports talk radio is like today? And do they have that?
Yeah.
And if they do, can we please get some clips from it?
Could you imagine? I was almost going to bust into a German accent there, but I don't want to do it. So
no, please don't.
I'll leave it there. It's a stunning result, though. Although, I will say this, I think the actual name North Macedonia, because it is, I mean, in terms of world history, it's a relatively new country, right? The former Yugoslavia is loaded with talented players, right? Because we've seen Croatia, Serbia, all these different countries.
We sure have seen Croatia.
We've seen Croatia, obviously, right? But North Macedonia is also qualified for Euro, right? That's what they did earlier this year, is they qualified. So this is the biggest result in the country's history, but they are actually not like a complete minnow on the world stage. So anyway, that was a wild result.
They're not San Marino, is what you're saying.
Right, who England dispatched of. No problem. Early there. It was like, well, I mean, San Marino is to Europe what the Cayman Islands are to CONCACAF.
Yeah.
Right? That's the
comparison. The Faroe Islands?
Right. Like, they show up and they're like,
Scotland is like, we are going to tear these guys apart.
Finally, we're going to score more than two goals.
And Scotland wins 3-0.
Right. And they get their third goal and they're happy. God, I don't want to get too far down the soccer, but I watched the Cayman Islands. Like, you don't feel bad for anyone that lives in the Caymans, because you're like, generally, you know, things are going pretty well. Like, you're in the Caymans. It's probably a pretty nice existence, right?
Yeah. But you work for an accounting firm.
I know that there's a class inequality in the Cayman Islands. Please, I don't want to go down this geopolitical road.
You brought it up.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
We'll save that for Cayman Island Sports Talk Radio.
Anyway, they're not, like, it's borderline semi-professionals that are stepping up there, right? All the guys play domestically. I assume.
And now that Canada is no longer borderline semi-professionals playing for them.
Like, imagine looking up and being like, we cannot compete with Canada in soccer.
They are too powerful.
Right. That's a statement in and of itself. Okay, we're moving along.
All right.
Before we get into what we learn, my what we learned real quick is that out of nowhere, really, Roy Williams has stepped down and retired as the head coach of the University of North Carolina. Now, I know going from soccer to college hoops isn't endearing us to the Erics of the world, but I just thought it was worth mentioning because, as far as I can remember, Roy Williams has coached college basketball.
Eric is huge into the ACC.
He loves the ACC.
He even likes lacrosse.
It's his favorite conference. Mm-hmm. 48 years as a head coach, 33 years between Kansas and mm-hmm. North Carolina. That is one of the unique things about U.S. collegiate athletics. So those coaches
they
that are just there. Because I mean, you want to tie it back to hockey and to the NHL. Travis Green is in the top 10 of tenured coaches mm-hmm. in the NHL. And he's been on the job for a minute. Imagine having one of these jobs for 25, 30, 35 years. It's insane when you think about it. Yeah. You would think at some point.
Who was the guy before? Was it Dean Smith
Dean Smith
was there forever?
Yeah, like they've had two coaches. Like in the history of basketball, there have been two coaches at North Carolina, basically. Like that's it. It went from Dean Smith to Roy Williams.
Dean Smith would actually put up the peach baskets.
Right. He's got the saw. He's cutting out the bottom. I need those peach baskets back. Like exactly. But like, look at the Buffalo Sabres. Or look at the Calgary Flames. We were talking about Johnny Gaudreau's tenure in Calgary. He's had five different head coaches. Mm-hmm. It's wild. Anyway.
The Sabres are already rebuilding the rebuild.
Thank you. MoCow, this whole thing. The soccer to college basketball talk. Let's play the What We Learn music, Dom.
We're going to need a few things for this class.
Boring.
An eagerness to learn. A thirst for knowledge.
So, what did we learn in the last 24 hours?
When life gives you lemons, just say, F*** the lemons and bail.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
By the way, this segment, What We Learned, which we do on the daily, also not sponsored, just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a sponsorship opportunity, you want to be a part of the Halbro experience.
You want to be a part of this for your business?
Yeah.
Good luck.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Actually, I would.
Yeah. Others have tried and failed. But here we are, still pressing along. You can call.
It's time for What We Learned, brought to you by Enron. Enron, the most dependable name in energy.
That's right. I had another company I was going to throw out there, but I better not.
How about when you made a reference
to
Backdraft earlier?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Is that the last movie you watched?
No, The Usual Suspects.
You actually make a lot of Backdraft references.
Donald Sutherland in Backdraft is...
You're like that guy that reads one book.
Yeah, and I make reference to it all the time.
Yeah, so I was reading this book. Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Definitely wasn't Fallen, last movie.
A little author called Malcolm Gladwell. I don't know if you guys have heard of him.
10,000 hours.
Read one of his books. Pretty good. There's the most underrated creepy character of all time is Donald Sutherland in Backdraft. When they think he's like a reformed arsonist, like he's gotten okay. He's rehabilitated and gone back into society.
When was this movie made again? Early 90s?
On rewatch, it's actually really bad.
We're talking about Backdraft, man.
But
do you remember when it first came out? It's like, the technology in this is amazing.
Flames. And the guy's like, wow, there's flames everywhere. There's green screen. But anyway,
I don't think there was green screen.
Donald Sutherland, they finally break him. And he's talking about he just wants to see the world burn. It was ahead of its time.
Was he old in that film as well?
Donald Sutherland has never been young.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like, it's like Wilford Brimley. Like, there's only certain characters that Wilford Brimley was going to play.
Do you think Joker was based off of him then, basically? Because he wanted to.
I know.
Probably haven't even seen that movie. No,
now, is that the Batman's? I don't know.
All right, let's do some What We Learns here.
Yeah, right.
Table Saw James, What We Learned. The Utah Jazz just about got taken out by a flock of birds.
Saw that.
It's incredible that we can build planes that fly at 30,000 feet at 600 miles per hour, but a few birds can crash them to the ground.
So the Utah Jazz sent out a tweet in the aftermath. So
That would have been terrifying.
Right. It would have been scary. But
for the birds, too.
Well, that's where I'm going with this. The tweet was poorly because they showed a picture of the front of the plane, mm-hmm. which is covered in blood.
Yeah. Was it really? I didn't see that.
And the caption says, we had an incident in the air, but don't worry, everything is okay. And then the first comment was underneath.
Superman is not, though.
Right. First comment underneath was like, are you sure the birds are okay? Because there's an awful lot of blood on the front of the plane. Like, I'm like, yeah, that's not the best caption for that. You could have done better, social media
Wasn't
guy.
Remember when Sully?
I watched that
landed.
Movie.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Are we just checking
Tom
things off here?
Tom Hanks was in it. He had gray hair.
Wasn't that a bird incident?
That was
yes,
a bird
that
incident.
That was a
bird
yeah,
incident.
They landed the Hudson.
Yeah.
You know who Tom Hanks looks like in that movie? Cheech.
He does. Yeah. Silver
yeah.
Fox.
Yeah. There's some real Sully energy going on
yeah.
with Cheech.
You're saying all gray-haired men look alike?
No, but they also both look like Donald Sutherland.
Chris on? Is this, isn't it? Chris on?
Christian. It's Chris from Mission. And we shortened it to Christian.
Oh, I see.
I gave him kudos for that earlier.
What we learned, I learned that Eric is the new Gary. I don't think so. Gary's just an unsigned text.
Right.
Eric is the new just that guy.
Eric wrote back, though, and he likes the show.
Oh, that's good.
He sucked up, and we took his praise, and now he's a good dude.
If I may, on Reach Deep, we would call Eric's Daves.
Don't be a Dave.
Yeah, we just
don't be a Dave.
We just call them Daves.
Yeah. Minor Matt in Abbotsford. When I went to Universal Studios the first time, the Backdraft exhibit was new, and it was all the rage. I enjoyed it, but only because I was an aspiring pyro.
Aspiring pyro.
Yeah.
I think you just, once you've won fire, you're a pyro.
Did you, most kids that are, I don't know, 10 to 12 have like that fire bug stage?
I'll never forget when we were playing soccer as kids, when a kid moved down from Trail and joined our team.
He's a fire bug?
Well, no, we asked, we're like, we're 15 or 16. We're like, what do you do for fun in Trail? And he's like, I don't know, burn stuff.
Yeah.
Like that was, and then we were all laughing. He's like, I don't get it. Like that was, you know, you're bored. You burn stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
In the lane.
Right.
I got in big trouble for setting a fire in a garbage can once.
The jump from kid who's really into fireworks on Halloween, to it's not that big of a jump. That's the same thing.
I think it's a pretty big jump to intentionally burn down buildings.
Not
from
buildings.
Enjoying
it's
fireworks.
Not buildings. We're talking about minor fires in the alley.
Right.
There's a correlation there.
Now I'm like worried as like people are going to text in like, I never had that and I've never heard that from kids.
Right. Was it just us? I hope not. Did you not pound up a screecheroo with a hammer?
Sloppy Nacho is what we learned. I learned that North Macedonia is a real place. I did not know that. See? We're teaching people.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, right? I mean, it's not, like I said, they haven't really achieved much on the global stage, but they just beat Germany and they're going to the European Championships. This summer.
Josh, the Zamboni guy, what we learned. Roussel complained about breaks, and the hockey gods called up Mr. Pandemic to make a trade.
I did.
This very Canucks-like.
I know. I did. I didn't want to put it in those terms, but there was something with Roussel talking about how all these teams got COVID-related breaks, and then the Canucks got one.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it at that.
Josh, in his video van, what we learned. I learned that if the coaches had to sit out, it would be awesome to see Francesco, Benning, and Weisbrod behind the bench and still wonder what Weisbrod does. That would be funny, actually. Francesco would be like, all right, I'll be the head coach. Jim, you handle the defenseman. John, what do you want to do? And he'd be like, I'll just be there. Like, I'll just like general encouragement.
I'm not telling.
I will definitely contribute, though. I will be there.
Hypothetically speaking, if the coaching staff had to go into COVID-19 protocol, all of them, would it be like Benning and Weisbrod and maybe like Chris Gere? They'd have to have someone. You can't bring up the coaching squad from Utica. It wouldn't work in time. Maybe there's a video coach that just works in an isolated manner. I don't know.
I feel like they would just bring in Sven Butenschon from the UBC Thunderbird and just say, can you please fill in?
You think?
I mean, he's a coach.
He certainly is.
He's local.
Your argument is bulletproof.
I could do it.
Yeah.
I could coach like Willie. All right.
That's a good team over there.
Here are the four lines.
I'm going to write them up on the board.
And I'll go, all right, line one, go.
And then I'm going to point to the lines. And you're going to go out and play hockey.
And then after line one, you go to two, and then in three, and then four, and we all play the same amount.
Well, I mean, Sat does everything. Could he also coach while
I'd like to change my answer to that, for sure.
There was a what we learned, and I've lost it here, but it was ripping into password.
Right.
Oh, good.
So we're not familiar with this, really.
And it said that something along the lines of, sounds like password is a
it's ripping
segment.
Apart. It's ripping apart the family show.
Yeah, it's a segment that you'd hear on a very low-budget podcast or something along
that's
those
what
lines.
We were 1-4 reach deep. We had very low budget.
So I actually, I did a little research here. I do know what's going on. I wanted to...
I wanted
to get to better know our new
coworkers.
I didn't
even know what the one-chip challenge was.
Right, that was another thing that they
did. You didn't know what the one-chip challenge was? This is like... social norm. Everyone knows what the one-chip challenge is.
Yeah, it went viral. Bruff doesn't do that kind of stuff.
Okay.
He's not his
I don't
sorry,
care.
I apologize. Yeah,
he doesn't
continue.
He doesn't like viruses or viral. Yeah. Do you want to know about the one-chip challenge first or the other thing?
It's just a hot chip.
Yeah,
really hot chip.
The Carolina Reaper.
Okay,
is the kind of.
Have you tried it, Dom?
No, I'm not stupid enough to eat that.
Right,
but Riccio and Randeep.
They are, yes.
Yeah,
and Randeep seemed like it was not a big deal.
Well, Randeep did the proper thing and prepared his stomach beforehand. He ate a burger, fries.
Oh.
Reach came in, took a shot of
sang
Pepto.
Some Bocelli and
yes, yeah, say some sweet Bocelli.
Yeah,
and then down the chip. On an empty stomach.
Oh no, that's a bad idea.
Yeah,
no, he's dying. Okay,
so I want to read the. I want to read the
password.
Please go ahead.
Okay,
mine are Matt and Abbotsford. The password intro sounds like something you'd hear on a startup podcast with no sponsors and single-digit listenership. And then he wondered how that made it all the way to the primetime slot.
That's a CMAC question.
So password, I've never, I know what it is because I've seen it referenced on the interweb. I've never actually heard it. Some people, do you have the password intro? That's what some people are taking issue with.
Well, you can't really have the password intro. Dan does it organically.
Oh, he does it live?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And here's the thing. Here's the other thing. I don't think people realize password is something I created. It was a riff off the old game show from CBS way back in the
day. No kidding.
Yeah, you don't say.
Okay. Some people don't know that.
See, we used to play Jeopardy on
yes,
the old.
Yes, okay.
That was a riff off the game show Jeopardy.
Are you going to bring in a big wheel next? Anyway, I think SAT is anti-password.
The program was always anti-password.
SAT's right. I think we should do an NFL mock draft.
Yeah.
Are they going to do an NFL
or
mock draft?
A review of Draft Day, the movie?
I remember following the Sportsnet 650 Twitter account.
Yeah.
When
the live mock draft.
Someone was doing a mock draft. And
yeah, that was Bick's thing, yeah.
When it got to pick 28.
And now Jacksonville, they need an edge rusher.
Yeah.
Eric must have been going insane.
You think we talk about useless garbage?
The worst part about those polls was that there was maybe 50 votes on each poll.
Yeah. Some random Jacksonville fan found it and got really stoked. Yeah, I could see it.
Who do you think Carolina is going to take with the 27th pick?
I don't know.
Here's three options.
What we learned from Alex the Scientist. Ooh, is that a humble brag? When you call,
I don't think he's really a scientist.
No, okay, fair enough.
I bet he might be.
What we learned, I guess with the... This isn't even really what we learned. Oh, okay, kind of is. I guess with the abbreviated new show format, so we're 3 hours instead of four, there's no time for a daily or weekly clip segment.
Mm.
Like Dom's dialogue. Now, we had toyed around with this because we're Thursday now. We've done the show 4 days in a row. We do have a lot of unused material. Shockingly, we do prep. Even more shockingly, we don't get to all of it. We've got a lot of audio just kind of kicking around. We were thinking maybe Dom's dimes. We thought about that.
Yeah, the thing is with the short show, we could do it in the next segment, but there's 5 minutes to get through five different clips.
What if we did an end of the week stuff we didn't get to kind of deal?
That could work.
Yeah.
I think it's more for if we only have two guests.
Yes, that's true
agree.
As well. Yeah,
but I enjoy booking you three guests.
In some ways, if you don't do your job and book enough guests, if you don't book a guest per hour, then you have to do a Dom's whatever.
Dom's detention.
Yeah, there you go.
There's a lot of D alliteration.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We're not very creative. Everything's alliteration on this show.
All right, one final segment to go on the Halford and Brough Show, Sportsnet 650.
Okay.
We were listening to some of the G-Funk stuff on the golf course the other day, and we really enjoyed it. That was a good beat.
I was on the 16th, and someone was playing some rap music. That was earlier in the program. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650.
That was our impression of Murph and Shorty on the golf course.
That's right. Ooh, Kendrick Lamar. Let's fire up a couple more What We Learns real quick. We're out at 53, correct?
Correct.
Okay. What do we got?
Bodie.
Nice.
What we learned, I learned that the laughter ratio of Sportsnet 650 has grown exponentially in the past 4 days.
We do to have a good time.
Yeah. That's good. Did you guys not laugh much on your show?
I think that's why they moved Reach Deep to the afternoon drive, because we laughed the most.
Did you laugh a lot?
Yes. Yeah.
What was
good for the soul.
It is good for the soul.
Mm-hmm. Was it mostly during Password that you laughed?
No, we laughed throughout the entirety of the show. We just tried not to take ourselves seriously.
The weird thing is that Mike and I have never met Dan in Randeep.
Well, I did once. I met Dan once.
We also work on
opposite
ends. That'd
be pretty
funny.
It's like, bruh, you've met them like six times.
You golfed with them. It's 4.5 hours together. I met Dan once. I don't think I've ever met Randeep.
Where did you meet Dan?
It was at the Jason Botcher Memorial that we had at Rogers Arena.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did meet them then.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
We talked soccer.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, because I knew he was a soccer guy.
You know who you did meet? Vic Nizar, because that's the only name you remember.
That's right. Everyone that I don't know at Sportsnet 650 is Bic.
Right. Bic, it's a very, like, distinguished name,
mm-hmm.
right? It's very razorly.
Or
razorly.
Or pens.
Or pens.
Or lighters.
Or penny. Or lighters, right. Since we're on the backdraft theme, lighters. Everyone's got a good Bic lighter somewhere.
Steven East Van texted in and said, the password intro hurts my body physically to listen to it.
Why is it so bad?
I just think some people hate fun, you know?
Is it fun? Otherwise, you're out of answers.
I do like this one, because this is probably pretty accurate, right? Password is the family game night that may start slow for some people, but 95% are having fun by the end.
That's a very accurate description.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, do Fair you guys enough. Want to play Pictionary? Oh, no. But by the end, you've had a few laughs, right?
Yeah. I've talked about this before, but there was a brief window where everybody, like, in our friend group was insistent on playing Cranium. And that was the worst. I hated every minute of it.
I never liked family board games growing up because I would get ultra competitive.
Right.
And I would be the knock over the board.
Do you guy? Play, were you like Monopoly? Like, is Monopoly seems like the standard go-to for most family games.
We were big Trivial Pursuit.
Oh, of course you were.
Is this where Mount Bruff was born? Board games?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
He was just born watching the Canucks, honestly,
to be perfectly
honest.
He was born
with you.
This way.
Yeah, that's the way it was. So, Blue Jays baseball.
Yeah.
Is coming up. Ryu on the mound for the Jays.
Yep.
He's their only starter, so he's going to start every game this season, and it'll be interesting to watch.
In an unprecedented move. So it's Jays pregame at 9, Jays Yankees MLB season opener for both at 10. Enjoy it. We got to get out of here, but we will be back tomorrow. Signing off, I have been Mike Halford. He has been Jason Bruff. This has been Halford and Bruff on Sportsnet 650.